Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything related to growing and building cleaning companies. If that's you and you're committed to growing your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. You will find everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions or feedback, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. We are always excited to hear from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we have an absolute treat. I've got an industry expert, Michael Leachev from Envia. Envia helps business connect with government contracts. If you want to reach out to Michael and the Envia team, you can get a hold of Michael specifically at mleachev, L-I-T-C-H-E-V, mleachev at envia.com. Michael, welcome and say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Well, hello, Cleaning Nation. It's great to be here today. Excited to talk a little bit about what we do and help get some education on government contracting. We think it's a really exciting field.
Yeah, and I got to tell you guys, Michael reached out to me, and I'm like, because we get a lot of requests to be on the show, and it's mostly people trying to hawk crap that I'm not interested in. So either me or Natalie checked out the website, and it looked legit. We called them, and I've probably talked to Michael, I don't know, over email and phone a couple times since then, and I am, I've moved from very skeptical to really excited because I don't think we've covered, I've talked about government contracting, but we've not had a real live industry expert on the show, and today is the day. So for everybody looking to get into government contracting, wanting to get into government contracting but super scared or just wanting some information, you're absolutely in the right spot. Michael, let's start, if you're okay, with just the opportunity. So people might be like, well, I don't know if this is for me or not. What kind of opportunity is there in the government contracting world in the United States today?
Well, you know, when most people think about government, they usually think Washington, D.C., Congress, the president, kind of federal government level. But what a lot of people forget sometimes is that most of the opportunities in cleaning come from the state and local markets. So municipalities, counties, school districts, state government, you know, because, you know, schools need to be cleaned. City hall needs to be cleaned. So over the last year, you know, in our platform, we had 4,282 opportunities for cleaning, and specifically 3,466.
Back that train up. What was that now? How many opportunities in cleaning? That's not like a, I thought that was going to be like global for all of your stuff, but just for cleaning, how many opportunities last year?
Right. So there were 4,282 opportunities for cleaning, and within that includes 3,466 janitorial opportunities, so very targeted towards janitorial and custodial. And then the other 800 or so comes from window washing, power cleaning, and a couple other categories. But the grand majority of them are specifically focused for custodial and janitorial.
And that those numbers are just from last year?
Yeah, those are from the last 365 days. I pulled the numbers this morning. So
it's exciting. All right, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, but that I'm fired up. Keep going, brother.
So, the way the kind of procurement works is that for, at least for the federal government, the government needs to post a competitive bid when at a minimum the contract is over $25,000 annually. So, if we kind of calculate those numbers based on that $25,000 threshold, then we're looking at, if we do 4,282 multiplied by 25,000, we're going to get $107 million in terms of annual expenditure by the government for cleaning services. And then if we focus on those 3,466 janitorial opportunities, we're looking at $86 million in annual expenditure.
Well, and at that that $100 million mark just is a round figure. And I'm sure the states aren't divided equally. California and New York probably a lot more. But let's just divide by 50. That's $2 million a state available. So wherever you're listening to in the United States, give or take, you've got a couple million bucks of opportunity every year. That's a really exciting proposition.
Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely think so. And a lot of the companies that work with us with the Onvia guide for small business, you know, we have, you know, we have a system for companies of different sizes, but our small business clients, we have a lot of cleaning companies and franchise owners. So we do very well, and a lot of our customers, you know, they appreciate the opportunity.
And let me tell you, Cleaning Nation, I was when I had my cleaning business, I did not do any government contracting because I was young and scared. But when I had my contracting business, we did a lot of government contracting. And Michael said something I want to make sure that you don't miss. When you mentioned that federal thing, it is scary to kind of get involved with the federal government. But we started with cities and counties and municipalities, and we got a couple state contracts. And then if you kind of work your way in, just like Michael said, there's some really good money to be made in counties and cities. You don't have to be at a federal level to really do well. So don't get intimidated when you start like, oh, you got to get all these numbers and all this paperwork and a lot of the stuff the government puts you through. Start with your city or your county or the neighboring city or county, and you'll find that a lot of times they're a lot more flexible and easy to work with. Is that what you've, I mean, that was just my experience in Arizona. Is that what you found kind of nationwide, Michael?
Yeah, you know, I think with the federal government, there's always more hoops to jump through. With, you know, local municipalities, counties, they're more focused on just getting stuff done and getting it, you know, getting things going. And so I think that personally working at that level is much better for smaller business owners who are looking to get started with government contracting.
Yeah, and that's not to say that you can't use that as a platform to springboard into kind of federal, national stuff, but it's just a lot easier to start that way. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, if you can, and this is a big question, hopefully you can help, give me just an overview of the contracting process with the government. If I'm brand new and I'm like, man, I've always wanted to do contracting, but I'm scared, and you know, this podcast is kind of maybe the thing that's going to push them over to actually start. Just give me an overview of what that might look like for a small business owner that hasn't done it before.
Mm-hmm. So earlier I mentioned that the government, they have a minimum threshold where over a certain dollar amount, they're required by law to issue a competitive bid. And the reason for that is because in our democracy, we want to avoid cronyism. If a mayor gets elected, we don't want them to simply hand out contracts to whoever donated to their campaign. We want it to be a transparent, fair, open process. And so that's why we have these laws in the first place. So when these contracts, and for cleaning service contracts, they're usually annual or every single 2 years. They usually are issued as bids and RFPs, and RFPs are requests for proposals. And once these proposals are issued, they're issued publicly, although not always the easiest to find, and contractors have the opportunity to respond to them with their own proposals saying, okay, well, if you're looking for a contract to clean City Hall for 2 years, this is the type of equipment that we can use to clean it. This is how many people we can dedicate towards cleaning this this facility, and this is the price that we can give. And that's essentially what it is as a high level. It's simply putting in a bid. It's not quite. There's a couple of there might be a couple of hoops to jump through depending on what agency you're working with. It's not quite as straightforward as putting in a bid with the private sector. But what we found is that while it may look unapproachable at first, it doesn't take a lot of research to understand exactly what agencies are looking for. And so once you submit that proposal, the agency will review them and they'll have a public opening date where they're going to open all the proposals and they're going to evaluate them and then they're going to award the contract. So in that sense, it's simply a more drawn out process, a more drawn out version of just a regular private sector product.
Okay, so I've got a question and a comment. Question, you mentioned by law they're required, and that's what I found with my government. There's always minimums and, you know, up to this amount, one guy can just do it. And up to that amount, he can pay by credit card. And this amount, it's got to go to committee. So up to $24,000 a year for the janitorial contract, that'd be $2,000 a month. must be by law sent out for RFP or RFQ. Does that mean that under that there are none of those, or are there still some of those, like they're lower than 24,000, they still choose to go out to bid, they're just not required, or is it only $24,000 a year and up?
So the 25,000 limit that I mentioned earlier is set by the federal government. And within our constitutional system, each state has the right to modify those rules as long as they keep in accordance with some basic tenets of it. So for some states, the threshold is actually lower than $25,000. And different states actually break up thresholds. So in some states, for example, if the government is purchasing technology like IT or laptops or computers, the threshold limit for that is higher. So different industries have different rules associated with them, different types of services. Some industries have more hoops to jump through. I think cleaning services is one of those that is relatively straightforward. And there are definitely times when the agency will issue, you know, a $15,000 contract for bid. At the same time, some of these bigger cities are going to issue contracts for like $150,000 a year. So the contract value really it varies. And so the number I gave you earlier, you know, the $86 million for, you know, 3,500 janitorial opportunities, that was using 25K as a benchmark. In some cases, it's a conservative estimate because, you know, like I mentioned, $25,000 is towards the lower end in the grand picture of things.
Oh, yeah. If you're cleaning a government complex of buildings, that could be a $100,000 contract a year without blinking an eye. So just for the guys out there, gals out there that are going, man, I'm, you know, 2000 sounds high. That's like top end. I'm more looking for $1,000, $1,500 a month or $500 a month. You're saying that they still may be in there. They're just not required by law to put those RFPs out. They can deliver them other ways.
Yeah. I think that there's a combination of ways you can approach the market, you know, bids and RFPs. That's where the vast majority of spending, you know, ends up. But there's also, in certain situations, it's a matter of networking with the local government agencies. So, you know, getting to know, you know, calling into the mayor's office and finding out who the procurement officer is for the city or for the county. And, you know, kind of just doing some basic networking and understanding who your local connections are. And that's going to help you, because finding out about the bid and the RFP isn't the end all be all. It's also, as with many things in government, it's also about establishing a couple of connections here and there.
Yeah, I wanted to. That's one of the things I wanted to make sure I brought up, so we didn't is helpful and useful and is time saving as it is to have all these RFPs like kind of found. That's really step one. Well, you know, let me ask a couple more questions. I'll save my remarks for the end. So now that we've kind of got an overview of the government contracting process, my fear is I'm going to send Clean Nation out there, and they're just going to move into a wall of bureaucracy and information that's not really well organized. Or just not even know where to start. Like, man, I got fired up. I was listening to Mike and Michael talk, and I see the opportunity, and it didn't sound that hard, but I just need some help. Are there any resources out there, free or paid, that can help people through that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the best place to start with is going to be something called a PTAC. So PTAC, and that stands for Procurement Technical Assistance Center. And that's a taxpayer-funded government agency. Their entire mission is to assist local businesses of any size towards finding and winning government contracts. And there's over 300 offices across the United States. If you go online and you simply Google PTAC locator, you'll get the website for APTAC, which is that's the master kind of branch of PTAC nationally, and you'll be able to locate a location nearby. And essentially what they do is they provide pro bono or very, very close to it consulting. So they can help you understand what the total market opportunity in your area is. They can help you put together a proposal to respond to a bid. They're a very comprehensive, very, you know, dedicated resource. And it's not to say that all PTACs are created equal. Some offices are going to be more robust than others, but it's 110% worth your time to either set an appointment in person or set an appointment over the phone and just talk through with them where your business is at right now, what your goals are moving forward, and really just have a conversation with them about whether the government contracting market is going to be right for you. Because it's not necessarily right for everybody.
And if this is taxpayer funded, you're already paying for the service. So you use it or not, the price tag is the same. You're already paying through it for your taxes. And I like what you said about this isn't right for everybody. Because the one kind of overriding theme I talk with my private coaching clients when they ask me about government is I'm not a fan of dipping your toes in. So if you're kind of like, well, I do some residential house cleaning and I've got a car dealership and then I work at the restaurant down the road and we do power washing and we do all this stuff. And I was thinking I might give government a spin. I'm not saying that can't work, but I would never coach anyone to do that. I'm kind of and this isn't for every industry, but for government, for me, it's in for a penny, in for a pound. If you're going to do this, it's going to take a little bit of time talking with the PTAX, using the resources, figuring out kind of the rules written and unwritten that they use. And once you've honed that skill, that can be a multi-million dollar skill over the next couple of years for you, but it's going to take time. So if you're like, I'm just going to give it a try, you can get frustrated and go, oh, that's no good. Or even worse, start with, oh, I'm going to get all my designations as small businesses, Hispanic owned, minority owned, woman owned, Pelican owned, whatever the heck they got out there. And you think you're doing work by kind of knocking all this stuff out. Start by understanding. I think that PTAC is a much better place to start because so many people start with, oh, I've got all these designations. How come all the work's not coming to me? Why aren't they just backing up the truck to my door and, you know, having contracts? Never works that way. I would start with the PTAC. Not that those designations are bad or you shouldn't get them. Just don't confuse that with work. And if you're going to do government, spend some time. This podcast is a great place to start. Onvia, I'm sure, has got some more resources, and we'll talk about that in a second. The PTAC, especially since it's free, sounds great. So spend a week or two doing some research and deciding, is this government work what I want to do? And if it is, you don't have to make it 100% of your business, but you're going to want to make it a real effort. Like, this is something I'm trying to do, and I'm going to learn the ins and outs. You can make a ton of money. But the worst case is when you start and you just want to dip your toe in, and 3 months later, you've spent time and money getting a designation or doing this or that. You never end up getting a contract. That's how people get burnt out. Any thoughts on that, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really have to, you know, I have to agree with a lot of what you said. I think that it's something that you do want to research, and you want to understand whether it's really going to be the right fit for you and your business based on where you are. Because if you're in a more rural area, not a lot of government nearby, it's not really going to be, you know, especially lucrative unless you expand your business beyond your current geography. But if you're in a metropolitan area, it doesn't even have to be a really big one. You know, the fact that there's so many, you know, there's 90,000 different government agencies across the country. Like, that, it's a huge, huge amount, huge market. But you're totally right, Mike, is that you want to do your research. And then once you figure out whether it's right for you or not, you really should commit to learning the ins and outs, understanding how the process works, and really understanding the needs of these agencies. And once you do, once you get that first contract, really, you know, once you have a track record, it becomes easier to move forward and to grow. So really, it's just a matter of putting in work up front, just like in business, just like in any business. You have to put a lot of work up front, and then you'll get the results as you grow, as you move forward.
Yeah, and I'd like to share some of my experience with the government, just because I think it could be really helpful for Clean Nation, save you guys a lot of steps. So again, this was in the contracting. So full disclosure, I didn't do any government work when I had my cleaning business. This was when I had my contracting business, but we made a lot of money with the government. And I found a couple things. First, and this is hard for most entrepreneurs to get because we think very, let's just get it done. Let's make it work. Let's do what makes sense. When I was dealing with the government, I found, and again, I'm always telling you guys, you got to go for pain. Don't do what don't go out and tell them about you and what you think's important and me. Couldn't be less interested. Your customer's only interested in themselves. People forget that when they're working with the government, it's the exact same thing. The government is only interested and worried about their own, what they're trying to get accomplished, right? Which is fine. So just because it's not residential or commercial, you're not dealing with a business owner or homeowner, that doesn't mean you can throw paint out the window and just say they want lowest bid. Totally not the case. They'll say they want the lowest bid, but what they really want is the lowest qualified bid. And it is insane. The government, and again, this is my experience, and when I'm done, I want to hear Michael's take and see if that's what he's seen. The government is very, you must follow our rules. That is their pain, that you are qualified and you're able to do exactly what they want you to do. Some of it's going to be stupid. Why would I use this chemical over that chemical? That one's more expensive and doesn't do as good of a job. Or why would I clean between? They're going to have requests that seem odd. not as much in the fulfillment, sometimes in the fulfillment, but often in the bidding. Weird stuff where it's like, you can tell they're trying to say, we want a big business or a business that's done this before, or you can kind of get what you think that they're trying to say, but they will not make the decision based on what they're trying to say. They'll make the decision on exactly what they said. We got a $1 million bid from a government because we were working with a contractor. Contractor was third in line, meaning he was not the highest, he was not the lowest, nor the second lowest bid. He was the third lowest bid, and he ended up getting it awarded because the first guy turned it in late, the second guy turned it in on time, but didn't turn it in the proper format. The guy was totally, the contractor was totally qualified. He'd done lots of government work before, but he didn't do it in the proper format. And our contractor, the third guy, challenged it and said, these first two bids are not good. And I hate to say it, for the better, as a taxpayer, for the betterment of the community, that they were fine, but they didn't follow the rules. So they got kicked out. So if you're going to work with the government, my experience has been, you've got to become a master rule follower. Look at the, and exactly to the letter, not the spirit. They don't go by the spirit. They go by the letter. If someone turns up thing in at 5:01 p.m., any one of us would go, it's fine. Even though we said 5 o'clock, the spirit is, you know, kind of around this time. The government, they won't do that. So make sure you kind of want to say take common sense out, but just make sure when you're doing the bids, you understand the bidding process, you read it to the letter of the law, and you follow it exactly. That's the government's pain. We want you to, we have a system and a process, and we want you to follow the system and process exactly, even if it doesn't make sense. I'm just giving away their secret. That's their pain. Everyone thinks it's low money. It's not low money. Low money is second or third on the totem pole. They don't care, totem pole. They don't care how cheap you are. They only care if you can execute the bid that they want to execute it and perform the work exactly the way that they want the work performed. Even if it's dumb, even if you're like, I've got a better way, I can do it better for free or for less money. They don't care. They want it done the way that they want it done. That's that. Whew! Sorry, Mike. I got myself all fired up. Any thoughts or comments on my mini rant before we go on?
Well, I really do want to second what you said about making sure that you really follow the rules in terms of really trying to figure out what the agency wants. And usually they spell it out for you in a voluminous document. You just really want to read through and you really want to understand, okay, do they want me to submit it in person? Do they want me to submit it over email, over a special platform that they contract with? So, and you really want to understand what are they looking for? What pricing information do they want? What kind of chemicals do they want me to use? And then you really have to integrate that into your proposal. You have to check off every single checkbox so that at the end of the day, the procurement agent is going to be able to say to their boss, hey, this contractor checked all the right boxes. They seem to be somebody we can do business with. They might not be the lowest bidder, but they seem to actually be able to get the job done. And that's what they want. You know, government agencies have been burned by taking very, very low bids because you get what you pay for. And the government recognizes that too. So they're not, and not all agencies are created equal. Some of them will, unfortunately, just go right in for the lower price and throw everything else out the window. But that's rare. You know, that most of the time government agencies are made up of civil servants who are just trying to keep their city going. They want to do a good job and they want to have a clean place to go to work, right?
Yeah, for sure. And again, this is something you can look at two ways. When I first started with the government, I was kind of bitter and I'd look at it like, this is so dumb. Why don't they make it more efficient? And I'm so angry. And it didn't work. Or you can look at it as, this is a huge opportunity. Everybody else is going to go for low bid and they're going to go, oh, the government, when they say dot this I, cross this T, turn it in this kind of type font with this kind of spacing, they don't really mean that. That's exactly what they mean. So I moved from, and I'm going to encourage you to start at seeing that as a blessing, as I understand the government's pain. They're very particular about how they want their bids done and how they want their work performed. And whether it makes sense to me or I agree with it or not, doesn't make any sense. I'm not the buyer. I'm not the one with the money. So I would really look at it as an opportunity to kind of outpace yourself. It's really nice when there's a big pile of money and they're not looking for lowest bidders. They're looking for most qualified bidder, or the guy that will dot the I's and cross the T's exactly the way they want. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to look at that as a resource, as an opportunity, not as a frustration, because it really can be both. But let's look at the glasses half full. Okay, so any other, that PTAC was amazing. If you're considering getting into government contract, I would start with that Google search immediately. Any other free resources we need to know about or that would be helpful?
Yeah, there's a couple of resources. You know, we have the Small Business Administration, which is a federal government agency. They have some resources online about, you know, about the procurement process. They also have some information about, you know, set asides, you know, becoming a woman-owned business or a minority-owned business or a veteran disabled-owned business. Like, kind of like Mike said earlier, you know, really you want to focus on actually solving the problem that the agency has. Those certifications, they can be very helpful and they can be a competitive advantage. But you also want to understand that just because you have a certification doesn't mean that you're entitled to a contract. It means that you still have to have the business necessary to be able to execute. So I would definitely look into that. I would try and understand what kind of opportunities you have. There's a program called the Hub Zone Program, Historically Underutilized Business Zones. Those set asides I mentioned earlier, you know, could be a competitive advantage. But I think that also on VIA, we've been in business for 15 years. We've been publishing a lot of content. We have a lot of research out. We have a lot of blog posts on government contracting 101, essentially. You know, what is the difference between an RFP and an RFQ? How do we write a proposal? And all that content, that's free. That's on our website. You go to onvia.com, go to the business resources section, and that's great. You know, that's kind of a service that we provide just to make sure that, you know, people are aware, people can educate themselves. So I think that would be a really good place to go. And then real quick on the previous point that Mike made, you know, about, you know, how sometimes he was a little frustrated earlier with the kind of the pace of government contracting. You know, I think the one thing I want to say is it's getting better. Government is becoming more efficient, especially with how technology is coming along. But I really also want to emphasize the potential for civic impact that a business can have working with government. You know, for example, cleaning a school, you know, If you're a company that is able to clean a middle school, an elementary school, and you do a great job, you know what you're doing is you're kind of a pillar of the community at that point. You know, you're really ensuring that the kids in your neighborhood have a good place to learn, to grow, and I think that's really kind of what business in many cases is all about, is it's providing a quality service that really adds value to your neighborhood and to your community. And I think that's a very powerful, empowering way of doing business.
Yeah, and Clean the Nation, for everybody that may have missed that, because it might have sounded a little like, oh, you know, like hunky-dory and like kind of Michael giving the company line. I'm not knocking you, Michael. I couldn't agree more. I just want to say that's what I'm always preaching in different words. It's all about core values, and you want to do business with the people that share the core value. So if it's important to you to give back to the community and to serve, man, what bigger platform is there than, again, not that you're not giving any value when you're cleaning Mrs. Johnson's house, you're hopefully changing her life and her family's life and allowing them to have more family time together. But just think of the impact and the reach and the scope that you're able to do when you're able to clean an entire school for thousands of kids and provide that learning environment. So I really think that's where the core values match in. My only thing is, be careful with your kid's school, because if your kid's anything of my kid, he would not think that was cool. He would think he'd be totally embarrassed. So you have to walk that fine line. Okay, so the free resources I've got, kind of in order of what Michael shared, PTAC, which is free consulting from the government. I was a little nervous when Mike told me about that. I'm like, government sounds iffy. He's like, no, some of these are really, really good. So at least check them out. You've got SBA.gov, you've got the Hub Zone, you've got Onvia, which is nice because they're obviously a for-profit company, so they're kind of motivated to give you really good advice, whereas the government is more you know, just a different institution. So those are really great places to start. First thing, and I feel this kind of going through Cleaning Nation's mind, what if there's listeners out there going, I'm too small, I'm too scared. Even with everything you said, I feel better. I feel a lot better than I did at the beginning of the podcast, but I'm too small. Is there any size or business setup that you're like, yeah, that is too small, you may not be ready, or any perfect time to start getting into government? Give me some feedback for those people, if you would, Mike. Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that when you're running your business, you want to make sure that you have a very solid foundation of a business before you necessarily go after government contracting. So some companies specifically chase the government market, and they start out that way. They're very intentional. But if you started your business intending to go the commercial cleaning or home cleaning route, you want to make sure you have an established business setup that's bringing in recurring revenue that's stable before you go out and necessarily start really committing to the government market. And the reason for that is because, like I mentioned, there is a small learning curve. You will have to do some research. You will have to learn what the rules are, how the proposal process works. And that's not terribly difficult. It just takes a little bit of time, but you want to make sure that you're not disrupting too much the flow of your stable business, the business that the foundation that you've laid. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of great resources, you know, PTAX. It doesn't cost anything to go in and have a visit. I think that research doesn't cost anybody any money, maybe costs a little bit of time. But if you're concerned about growing your business, you're just starting out, I would, unless there's a really good local opportunity, like there's like one or two local city halls that you think might be a really, really good fit, I would probably hold off on really aggressively pursuing the government market just until you lay a really solid foundation that you can build upon, if that makes sense.
That makes a ton of sense. And before you get too scared, because I know we've kind of been maybe talking it up a little bit, but the reality I found, and again, it's not fun, but it's also not hard, is if you really want to know how to do well in government, and again, just like Michael said, have a foundation. This, you don't want this to be your first contract. You probably have trouble getting it because the government's not going to want you. But if you're established, you've got some employees and some processes, and you've got some successful clients that aren't government, and you want to get into government, really the short lesson in government contracting is get the RFP, the request for proposal, the request for quotation, and just read the dang thing page for page. And it's tedious. It's awful. It'll take you 2 hours of your life. You'll never get back. But your competition is probably not going to do it. And you will find a gold mine of information in there just by reading it. So don't make it harder than it is. And especially when you've got these resources like PTAC, Envia, HubZone, SBA, all those could be helpful as well. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Envia. We've kind of, obviously told everyone that this is what you do full time, is help government connect with small business. And a lot of your customers are cleaning companies. Tell me a little bit about Envia generally. Kind of big picture, just so we know who you really are, and then specifically how you guys help small business owners or owners of cleaning companies, really.
Yeah. So on Envia, we really positioned ourselves to be at the core of government contracting, where we're able to work with businesses pretty much of any size, you know, from local cleaning company up to middle market, you know, service company, all the way to large, you know, multinational companies like, for example, Ford, you know, is a customer. And you can go onto our website and you can see some of our other client success stories to get an idea. But ultimately, what our mission is it's to empower people in the business to government space to really pursue the market as it should be done. Government contracting is very disorganized at this current stage. Like I said, 90,000 different government agencies, you have federal, state, county. What we're trying to do is we're trying to organize all that information. And at the same time, we're adding value to it. So if you're a larger company and you would like to have information about what contracts are going to be coming out in the future, what kind of term contracts are up for renewal, we can help give you that information. We can help you understand based on companies' budgetary plans or on agencies' budgets, what kind of spending opportunities there will come in the future. And really, at the same time, we're also just focused on creating a more efficient marketplace, and we're trying to really push the civic impact of our company. We want to make the marketplace better so that we can empower businesses like yours, you know, local cleaning companies, to be able to get into the market without it being as much of a hassle as it is today. We want to lower the barriers to entry, and we want to make it easier for companies within the local communities to give back. And ultimately, what that's going to do is that's going to create a stronger country, and it's going to create stronger communities. So we're...
If I want to get involved with government, and I'm like, all right, this Michael guy sounds like a genius, the Envia people must be good. What specific services do you all offer?
So for companies that are looking to start working in just maybe their local areas or maybe within their local state, we have a platform called the Envia Guide for Small Business. And this is custom made for the small business owner who is looking for a flexible arrangement. So we offer a month-to-month plan where you can, you know, it's pay as you go. You can cancel it at any time. And you're able to get the latest bids and RFPs from your local area. And our contracting database has over 95% of the total government expenditure at that level. So if you were to go out and try and do this research yourself, you would really quickly be overwhelmed because, as I mentioned, 90,000 different government agencies. Some of those agencies don't even have a website. Every single, you know, they'll have their own portal. Each city and county, they're not going to necessarily collaborate. There's the information is very, very spread out. It's not very well connected, and that's what we do is we bring it all together in one piece, as it always should have been. And in that sense,
let me make sure if I got what you said so far, because I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So, if I want to get into government contracting and I'm like, all right, so it seems like step one is to find the bids. Step two is to understand what they want. Step three is to make a bid for them, you know, following the rules exactly. And then step four, hopefully, is to do the work. So I hear you guys really it's a step one piece of, hey, and I've done this. It was such a headache. I don't know if you guys were around back when I was in government contracting, but if not, where were you? I wish I had heard this podcast. Instead of just scouring the internet, and there's so much, just like you said, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's the information's in. What I hear you saying is we can give you a little bit of money every month and you'll just have it all there, 95% of them there. So instead of me scouring the internet trying to figure it out, you guys are kind of checking the box of box one of finding the bids, and I can move right to step two of preparing the bids. Am I overstating or is that about right?
No, that's right on the money. So instead of having somebody at your office or having you, the business owner, you know, you only have so much time in the day. Your employees only have so much time in the day. And trying to go to all these different websites and spending not just your time, but also their energy on trying to locate this is not the most productive way to run a business. And so, you know, is exactly as you said, for a very reasonable monthly fee, we're actually just doing that work for you. You know, you can think of us as, you know, the trusted advisor that sends you an email every single morning saying, hey, these are the opportunities that came out over the last 24 hours. And that's it. And you don't have to do any other, you know, the work that you have to then do is you have to go in and read it. You have to see if the contract is right for your business. You have to go ahead and submit it. But we take all of the legwork out in terms of actually sourcing these opportunities. They just come right to you.
All right, you had me at, we send you an email every day with all the new opportunities. That's next time you ever tell someone what you do, that's what I would say. You give us money every month, every day we send you an email with bids that you can bid on. That is like a magic genie box to me.
Yeah, and then once you log into our platform, you know, you'll be able to get all the project documents and all that information. So it works pretty well.
Well, bids by email, you had me at that. Like, there's nothing better than you just come in, you check your email, like, oh, hey, here's a couple $100,000 of bids that happened yesterday. I think I'm gonna check these out. That's a sexy proposition, my friend. Okay, so I want to transition to Michael is kind enough to work with Envia staff and give a special deal for the Grow My Cleaning Company audience. So he's going to talk about that, but I want to preface it just like I have, I think, with every other expert I've had on. I get exactly $0 or any compensation for you guys signing up. I'm having Michael on because I think he's an amazing resource. There's zero financial relationship between us at this time at all. That said, I am a big fan. If you're not going to do government, again, this isn't for you. If you are going to do government, like we talked about, there's no sense in going halfway in. So take a couple of weeks, research, go to Envia, go to the PTAX, kind of take the time to decide if this is for you. If and when you decide it's for you, not using Envia is ridiculous. You're not, I don't know what it costs. It's less than $100 a month, I'm pretty sure. Whatever the cheap cost is, if you're like, oh, it's too expensive, I'm not doing it, then you've not decided government's for you. Keep moving. So long story short, I'm making $0 for this, but I really think it's a great opportunity. And sincerely, I was searching the internet and high and low like an idiot. I would have killed for you guys just to email me the RFPs as opposed to me having to search for them. That's insane. So that said, I think you guys were kind enough to make a special deal for Cleaning Nation. I would love to hear about that if you've got a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So we definitely want you to, we want your listeners to be able to succeed in the market. And what we'd like to do is we'd like to, specifically for the small business owners listening in, we'd If you go to growmycleaningcompany.com/onvia, that's going to take you to the Onvia website, and we're going to have information for the deal to essentially offer you two things. The first is that we're going to be able to work with you directly while you're setting up an account with us to help you create your search and basically offer custom onboarding support just to make sure that everything is set up properly to make sure that your search is bringing the kind of results you're looking for. And the second thing that we'd like to do is we'd like to offer your listeners a discount on either their first month or their first year with our with Onvia. And so the promo code is going to be listed up on the website that I mentioned. We're going to be able to offer your listeners 25% off either their first month or their first year. The pricing starts as you know starts at $45 a month for you know information of the local metropolitan area. So we're definitely happy to work with you and help make sure everything is set up. And you know all that information is going to be live on our website.
All right, so I'm going to just repeat what I heard, what I thought I heard, because it sounds pretty good. First of all this is at growmycleaningcompany.com/onvia. So if you want all this extra cool stuff, that's where you go, growmycleaningcompany.com/onvia, O-N-V-I-A. What I heard you saying is two things, and I'm excited about both. 25% off your first month or your first year. So I'm no dummy, but if I'm committed to the government stuff, then I'm just going to do the year and get the 25% off the whole thing. But that's just me. And then what I'm even more excited about is maybe a special onboarding process. Because again, the $45 a month, that's not really much money. But I'm assuming the software doesn't work unless you get it set up, right? We've got to get it set up so the right bids are coming to my email every day. And when I know how to go to the website and get the information I need, you're going to kind of give Cleaning Nation a little special help on that process. Am I talking out of turn, or is that all correct?
No, that's all correct. The registration process in itself, it's all done online. It's pretty simple. But again, you know, we're here specifically for listeners at Grow My Cleaning Company just to make sure that everything is going well. So I'll be available to answer any of your questions that you might have. I have a couple colleagues who will be available as well. And you know, if you are looking for some additional information about some of those resources that I mentioned, PTAX, SBA, I'm also happy to point you in that direction again and just answer any additional questions that you might have.
Yeah, I got to say, in the time that I spent with Michael up into kind of preparing for this podcast, I have found him to be really sincere and a guy that absolutely just wants to help small business owners. And he was kind enough to give his email address at the beginning of the show. So hopefully we've given you enough information to either decide government contracting is not for me and we saved you a bunch of time and money. God bless you. Fantastic. Or we piqued your interest and you're saying, man, this is something I really want to look into. And we've given you the resources you can do to check it out. And then, of course, the third category, the people that are already doing government or decided they're going to do government. Man, if you don't take advantage of that Onvia, that's crazy. Like I said, as someone that's done government work, I would have paid 10 times $45 a month to have somebody email me all of those handpicked proposals at my doorstep. That would have been awesome. So I got to say, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your expertise. I appreciate you. I know the Clean Nation appreciates you. Again, if you want to check out Michael's show notes page and get everything you need to get grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com/onvia, O-N-V-I-A. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.